We have a quorum. That's awesome. Let's start then. Are we recording?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Let's start with a review of the minutes from the January 16th and the February 2nd meetings.
Oh, yeah. That's you.
And after a review, if anyone would like to make a motion, we'll move them along.
Sorry, I was busy breathing for a moment. Is that what you...
Yes. Once you feel like you've sufficient...
I was busy writing that.
You want one motion for both of them, or one
sure.
for each?
Let's... I think we can...
We can do it.
Cool, one for each, because not all the same people were at both of those.
Oh, good. But okay.
Okay.
We'll do separate motions then for each set. There's a motion to approve the January 19th minutes.
So moved.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion second. All in favor by signifying by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And then a motion to accept the February 2nd minutes.
Motion.
It's probably not important, but Mr. Roner's name is still wrong.
Again. In the February 2nd one?
Yes, sir. I don't know. I wasn't here for the 19th, so I didn't know.
His last name is Harlan.
His last name is Roner.
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 Oh.
First name Harlan, last name Roner.
Okay.
We could just put a comma in there.
Yeah. Okay. My bad. Okay.
Motion to approve with the correction to be made in the final minutes.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. With those corrections. All right, on to updates on the James House, tiny homes, and our indoor gun range.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As far as the James House is concerned, we spoke with the building inspector, Jason, and he, according to state codes, regardless of how many residents you have, if it's going to be a licensed facility, you need to apply to the building codes, which means you need to have fire sprinklers and what have you. So we told them, Mr. Bonema and Mr. Mayor and the other associate.
Mike from Maple Street and then Cecil.
Right. So yeah, we informed them already. We'll see what other plans that they bring.
Yeah, I think so major impasse, they're gonna bring the state fire marshal out to inspect and kind of see if it's 5 or if it's 10, but there's technicality and loopholes that they're trying to squeeze through, so we'll see.
Okay, and as far as the tiny homes is concerned, the very first step in that project is to at least approach the city with a purchase agreement, and if the city is willing to sell and agree to all terms, so... yeah, so that's what's going to be happening. We informed Mr. Prophet about that development as well. And I think we've approached the administrator.
Yeah, so where we're at is before taking it to council with that, we're going to need to see several more designs. I think right now we had one design. I think we want to see 3 and then price negotiations of like what's going to be offered. So, still preliminary stages before it gets to council. So,
and the indoor gun ranges, do you want to
take Yeah, that? So I got an email from Gary this week kind of about like the structural issues he's having with kind of retrofitting the room that we said he should shift to. And so I think we'll have to, I think we'll be hearing about that eventually, but I think there's just going to be real structural barriers to that. So we'll see what happens like with that one particularly. But I think there are just going to be some serious structural issues, I think, with the having to add like the HVAC and the room not being made to support that. And then I think also the ceiling has to be steel plated, and then I think that makes the ceiling weigh two tons, and then like it can't support all of this and all this other stuff. So very interesting. Very interesting.
And just back to tiny homes for one second.
Yep.
Will these fit into like the R1?
These will not. It'll definitely have to be a PUD. Yeah.
So does, before he buys the land from the city, is he going to try to see if there's an appetite for creating a new zone before he buys it and then finds out he can't?
No. Everything will pretty much be, so if it makes it to y'all that there'll be an appetite for it at council to sell. Let's say if it comes out of here, then that means the landscape plan was approved, the structure of the deal was approved as far as if he's going to sell them individually, if he's going to sell them as a whole. Everything will pretty much just be like ready to be rubber stamped. It's just like a turnkey project at that point. I don't think it would be fair.
He's not getting ahead of himself.
That's fine.
That was the question. Yeah. Just out of curiosity regarding the gun range, do you know if there was any follow through on possibly reusing any of the equipment from the old city facility?
I don't know. I haven't. That's actually the first time I'd heard from Gary in a couple of weeks, and so he usually just kind of reaches out about the project particulars, not necessarily like buying stuff. I'll probably talk to him either tomorrow or Friday and probably get an update. So the next meeting up, okay. Have something for y'all.
Just curious to know if that was, if that ever materialized. Or mm-hmm.
Cool. Wouldn't be surprised. They're pretty organized.
All right, commissioners, any further questions or discussion? All right, cool. Thank you, guys. This is, mm-hmm. I like this this pattern. This works really well. All right, on to the Lutheran Church Columbarium conditional use permit preliminary. That is the first time I think at least either one of us have used that word.
Agree.
Yeah, I think. Honestly, I didn't know that was a word.
I had to look it up.
Thank goodness for Google.
Thank goodness for Google. And I appreciate the attached picture. Yeah. That was very helpful.
Yes. Yeah, not only do I have a word, you have the object associated with the word.
I have no idea that's what that was called.
Yeah. Right. So, we've been talking with Mr. Tim Osby. Pardon me if I didn't pronounce that well. They're requesting a conditional use permit to install a columbarium, I believe at the south side of their property. And the size of the columbarium will be 5 feet 4 inches in diameter and 5 feet 1 inch in height. And as we can see in the packet, we have a model picture included in Exhibit A of the packet. As far as allowable use is concerned, it's regarded as an accessory storage structure in the zoning ordinance in a non-residential district. So, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I have Mr. Tim here. If you... speak.
All right, Tim. Yeah. Good evening. I'm Tim Osby, and with me is Cheryl Schmidt and Jan Dahl, and we're part of the project. Well, we are the project team for the Columbarium, the Church Council. I'm as approved moving forward, and this is the first step in that process to seek permission for the conditional use. As mentioned, the Columbarium is simply a receptacle for cremated remains, and the church has discussed this for 3 or 4 years, and we finally came to a decision on proceeding, and then the location, which has been a source of discussion. And so, as noted, the location that we are requesting is on the south entrance to the church facility. You know, Benji is a known facility, so the south entrance is on the 13th Avenue side of the structure. There is a sidewalk that goes into the main or the south entrance of the structure, and then in the picture, although it's snow covered, you can see that there is a shrub area in the middle of that sidewalk. There's an approximately an 18-foot diameter open area that we have used for a shrub garden, and the sidewalk circles around that and then joins together and forms entrance into the facility. The columbarium, as noted, is it's a pre-manufactured columbarium, and it is this design is 5 feet 4 inches in diameter and approximately 5 feet 1 inch in height. And there are just as a matter of information, there are 64 niches in the columbarium, and each niche is able to handle remains of two individuals, so cremated remains of two individuals. So this columbarium would be able to hold up to 128 cremated remains. We have preliminarily, we have had the location service look at underground lines in that particular area, and there do not appear to be any underground lines. Some of the flagging was questionable to me and Pastor Justin Osk, who is our lead pastor. And so I followed up with Wilmer Municipal Utilities because it seemed like there was a marking for an electrical line, utilities electrical line. Contacted utilities, and they very promptly returned my call, and the engineer said, well, he's looked at the maps and there is no electrical line under there. I then followed up with the actual technician who did the location, and he verified that there were no underground lines, either electrical, sewer, or water, or cable, so that area is free and clear. The installation would require some cement footings underneath the structure, and then, you know, once we have the approval and the funding to move forward, that's always a important part for the church. We would pour the footings, and the columbarium would be transported. It's manufactured in Crookston, Minnesota. It's a Minnesota company that does this, and they have installations all across the country. They would bring the columbarium down, and we would place it on the footings. We don't know yet. We have not, this again is the first step. We have not discussed what might be around the columbarium. You know, obviously it's an 18-foot diameter open area. We probably would put some type of either pavers or cement work around the columbarium for ease of access. Might put a couple of benches there for family members. This is a contemplative area, and so it's appropriate, I think, that the city does look at this as a conditional use and different than the normal church facility. Although we wouldn't anticipate any increased traffic flow. We have obviously hold funerals at the church. It would provide some ease for interment following the funeral service, that could be interned, the remains could be interned immediately following rather than transporting to a cemetery. And well over half of the funerals that are conducted are with cremated remains now rather than embalmed remains. So I don't know if you have any other questions or any other information that we can provide to you.
Thank you, Tim. Commissioners, questions or discussion?
Do you know how much it weighs?
I don't, but I could find that out. I'm sure it's on their website, so I could provide that. I understand in terms of this process, we have not submitted any paperwork. This is a preliminary discussion with you to find out any particular questions, and I certainly will include that in the paperwork that's submitted.
The reason I ask is to sort of try to gauge what your site work would entail. Like, right. How far are we having to think out and how yeah. wide is it?
Well, and the company is very specific in terms of what the footing requirements are. Mm-hmm. So we would follow whatever the manufacturers and the what their requirements would be.
It wouldn't be, it would not honestly be much bigger than a couple feet past the actual unit, and then depending on how they did it, but it wouldn't be much larger than what they have. And then in most cases, it might be you want to get past the frost footing, depending on the weight and how they spread that best based on the footing, I wouldn't see them digging more than 6 feet down.
Will there be just one?
Well, at this point in time, that's what we're looking at. You know, at some point in the council discussed this when we were talking about this project, is that, you know, will we need to expand this at some point in time? And, you know, maybe. As far as funding it, you know, what we anticipate is we would charge a certain cost per niche, mm-hmm. and part of our process will be preparing and having a council adopt administrative policies and bylaws for the columbarium. You know, it's not going to be open to the general public. It'll probably be congregational members or immediate family of congregational members, and so. And visiting with the manufacturer, you know, several locations have had to expand at some point in time. And we have plenty of property on that side of the facility that we could put, you know, one or two more of the same design. The manufacturer also has columbaria that are semi-circular and flat, you know, to create kind of a nice space around there. And, you know, pictures of other installations across the country, there's nice landscaping that would be done around it. So, you know, obviously we want to maintain a very sacred and contemplative area that is, you know, conducive to, you know, families visiting and having some quiet time.
I just asked because Vinci is so beautifully symmetrical. Mm-hmm. So there must be a plan to put an even one yeah. somewhere.
Yeah. Well, we take great pride in our facility. It is unique.
Yes.
So whatever we do, it will be done right. You know, the other thing that, looking at other installations in the state and across the country, you know, one of the questions you might have is, you know, flowers and other types of things. And this is different than a cemetery. There's not a great deal of space. You know, each niche is approximately 2x2 with a faceplate and engraved names and dates of birth, dates of death. And we would, in our bylaws, would have the specifications of what is able to be placed on the faceplates. So, you know, it may be that we would allow floral arrangements or some type of thing on, you know, birth dates or dates of death or around Memorial Day, but it would be a very short period of time, and we have groundskeeping crews that would make certain that it was all taken care of and disposed of appropriately.
So that would be, then my question would be, if it comes, because this is preliminary, if it comes back here, those are the things that would need to be in place, that information, make a decision.
So you would want the administrative policies to be adapted prior to?
That's my question. I'm relatively new, I'm not sure what the process is. Yeah.
Just what the conditions are that we're going to use.
But
my
question is, whatever we do for Vinci is going to have to be made to fit for every single church in Wilmer. So it's you're not going to be able to give them one thing and then say no to another church.
Do they have a council member or something?
And huh?
Do they have a council member? Or?
Probably.
That was a joke. I mean, of course they have a council member.
No, but and my other question is, do you're calling it an outside storage shed? Does setbacks? I mean, this one is fairly close to the. To the city, to the front, to this property line, do setback requirements do that? And I'm just saying that whatever you do now, it's got to be have to be universal if you're going to give a conditional use permit, and no. You're going to have to put it in as a condition as well, at some point as a use of.
Right.
Just let me finish. It's going to have to go probably in as an accepted or into a conditional. An accepted conditional use.
Okay. I'm assuming those are things that you would have to review at some point anyways before right. It even really came to mm-hmm. us to see if it would be there.
So the point I was getting at is if they get too close to the sidewalk or something like that, then they've established the precedent on it, and it just needs to be fair for everybody. And so whatever we do here has just got
to
be.
Okay, so to answer your question, conditional use permits can be, I think, specific. So unique to like each application.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the thing that does need to change. This cannot stay under outside storage. The second this came up and like we realized that this is how it would be allowed, it needs to change. So
because my question comes right away is what rules apply? Because now we're talking burial site basically. How do we consider cemetery laws? Let's say if something happened with Vinji 25, 30 years down the road, what do you do with the property if you have a burial on site? I mean, there are some long-term... I don't know what laws apply to... there's urns, there's potentially 128 urns in a space, and I don't know the rules. I'm just thinking of the questions.
You can bury an urn just about anywhere.
Not legally.
Yeah, well, it's just like repurposing it. That's kind of like in bigger cities, they're really starting to have like a land use discussion about like what cemeteries to do. Can you move them? Like, should there just be housing there? The place I graduated from undergrad, we were landlocked as a campus between three military cemeteries, and so it was like this growing university. Well, what are you gonna do? You can't move anything. So the conditional use permits will be unique. I think as far as like defining out other stipulations to define other uses, that way this doesn't fall under outside storage. We'll do that once we get to the other residential standards. So those would be the universal standards. I think for this one, as far as like kind of looking at setbacks, landscaping, and things like that, that'll be unique to this specific scenario.
Just a couple of simple questions for Tim or for the city. The non-residential storage is considered the urns, and the existing building is considered the columbarium?
No, well, wouldn't the columbarium be
the structure?
Because the way the ordinance is presently amended, the non-residential storage within an existing building.
Right, the existing building.
That was my question, was can we have a reading of Ordinance 1060, please?
So the actual definition of it?
Yes, please. That's what we're here to decide, is whether this conditional use falls under that ordinance, correct?
Well, if they're just, is this just a preliminary discussion?
But I'm just trying to find out how this fits within that particular citation of the ordinance you provided us, which is kind of confusing unless we pin it down.
Is this the correct ordinance or should we direct them to find it?
Yeah, I'd almost just say within the building, the land area.
But that's not what this ordinance says.
Right, yeah. It's like, well, who cares if you put a building within a building? That just becomes a permit issue to the city.
What is non-residential space? Like, they're living there. It is, I mean, they're housed in there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. All right. I see what you're saying.
Is this the right
ordinance.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it is.
Does this, I can,
no,
does
no,
structure
well,
really, yeah.
Well, yeah, well, yeah, because, like, the, by, I guess, like, by, like, the letter of the law, then, like, this isn't, like, within an existing building. So they would change, like, the, they need a room for it.
Technically, yeah. The columbarium would be there first. And then they would add the storage items.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
He's always looking for a loophole.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, there is no real, I mean, like, this isn't like in an effort to, like, oppose this.
No.
This is totally for clarification.
No, yeah. Not opposing. We're just trying to make sure we have all the information together.
Yeah. Because there's two issues
here.
Oh,
because it's residential.
You know,
cemeteries are residential. We discovered that last meeting.
Mm-hmm. If you consider
the residential,
the columbarium an existing building, then it does fit if you consider the urns non-residential storage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's what this original amendment was intended for.
Right.
But then the second question is, how does this fit within, and or does the city have addressed?
No, the
what
city
do you
does
do
not, yeah,
with
yeah.
urns? Isn't that cemeterial? And are there any requirements there that would control sighting?
I smell a moratorium.
Well, there's no current.
Well, here, I'm just. Okay, I was just, because I had the same question about, but just the opposite of what you said. You can bury bones anywhere you want. That's not right. But maybe you should just, in your research, check into Minnesota Department of Health and where it's legal to place ashes before you get in there. There's a Minnesota Department of Health mortuary science section that tells where you can put them and where you can't, so you maybe just want to review that before. Because it's you can't just put, take your father's urn and put it in the middle of your backyard. That's not legal.
It has to be in, like, a concrete box or a steel box.
It's just something that
has come up once before in my research.
You might just have to
and
call yourself a cemetery, and then
your comment was
you
not
do it. It might be easy.
Quite
but
correct. You cannot just
well,
put an urn anywhere.
It was flippant. I apologize.
And in fact, you can't put the ashes anywhere either. Most people would want to go to their favorite lake fishing spot and dump them in the lake, but that's prohibited.
That.
Yes.
Because bone ash is toxic, yes.
So it's just something to look into before we do something.
Yes. It's just an issue that should be addressed. The second question, Tim.
As long as we're in preliminary, we'll just get all the bases covered.
I just want to get it out.
For the last 2 to 3 years, what was the motivation behind it?
I'm not.
Actually, I started it simply because my mother was placed in a columbarium at her church in the Metro. Mm-hmm. And that was, it was interesting to go through that process with another church. And given the fact that Vinji has a long-standing tradition of older, it's an older church in some respects, and people are committed to Vinji and blah, 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 blah. Then it came up at a meeting that I was chairing, and I said, you know, it might be kind of nice for Vinji to take a look at it. I believe that was back in like 2018 when that started. And so the conversation has been ongoing with this particular firm, this very same firm, and it's the one that did the one for my mother. Now you need to know that the niches are locked, so vandalism has never been an issue anywhere else. There is a columbarium at St. Mary's Church that's outside. It's beautiful, it's huge. There's also the one up in Spicer, so it's not that it's necessarily new to this area. But for us at Vinji, we have searched. I started the mission. Cheryl picked it up, and Tim is carrying that on. But Cheryl and I are committed to this because we think it just would be a really nice thing for us to do.
Yeah.
Do you know when St. Mary's had theirs?
Is that at the church?
No, it's at the cemetery.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It was at St. Mary's Cemetery.
We also looked at our Vinji Cemetery. But after Cheryl and I had walked the property with the groundskeeper, there was no place for it to go.
Yeah. Because so, Fairview has one also.
And Fairview has theirs as well.
I'm not opposed to it. I just want to make sure it fits
but,
in all the regulations.
The other thing that I heard you talking amongst yourselves about, if Vinji suddenly is gone, the people at Eckhoff have told us that it can be picked up and moved, and then we would need to find a cemetery location to put it. Cheryl has already done extensive looking at Cloverleaf, and they would be more than happy to have us there. We just feel that for our congregation to have it at this, at our home site, would be perfect.
Yeah, so I think like the thing we kind of need to figure out is probably incorporating it into the is incorporating it into the ordinance, and then also figuring out if we're, like what kind of structure we're going to define it as.
Yeah,
if it's just going to be an accessory structure, if it's going to be a building. 18 feet in diameter is a
my assumption
shed, but I mean I don't.
Well, but the columbarium is not 18 feet.
Yeah,
the columbarium would be location. The columbarium is 5 feet 4 inches in diameter.
I mean, it's smaller than an 8x10 shed.
So I think that's kind of like what we kind of need to decipher is like what kind of building it's going to be defined as, and then I think we'll go with like setbacks and stuff. So I think like we'll probably look for similar places that have kind of implemented this and kind of what they've done and what they've defined columbarians as, and then I think if we need to explicitly put them in the code, then I think that's what we'll do.
That's where I think
Dan mentioned Spicer. Faith Lutheran has a columbarium in a garden.
No, it's like here's the church on the back that's going to sit
in
the adjacent
in
Spicer church.
On their church
so,
property.
On their property.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know if that's what that is.
So not with
Spicer,
in.
But
right. Well, we've got time to look at
it. The two comments.
The Methodist Church in Painesville, as you, when you used to drive through Painesville, they have a garden spot in the back with a columbarium.
To do that in we have to create a provision for that.
Interesting.
Two comments I'd like to add is some of us have grown up in the small church communities, the rural church communities, and if you take a look at those communities, your cemetery is in often cases alongside or right around the church building itself. But of course, that's rural and it isn't affected by the city's municipal ordinances. One thing I would like to impress or at least point out is you may expect once this is begun that there will be a need or a call or a preference for continued
additional
columbariums, yes. Because if I was a member, I would certainly appreciate that service. So, you have to take a look at what your future plans are and capabilities are with that property.
Because I think if it's done right, I think our 164 niches times two will be gone in no time.
Then what the city needs to look at, and this is probably an issue for the council, is this what the city wants to see with regard to burial of cremated remains around the church buildings or in the cemeteries?
If you have an interment here with a large congregation and you only have 18 feet in front of the church, what is your plan for pedestrians right along road traffic?
Well, I mean, if you look at the satellite map there, on the bottom, you can see that is the south entrance, and there is yard space, open green space on either side. So you could, as I mentioned before, you could put another similar type of structure on either side, or as I mentioned, there are different types of columbaria, not necessarily round, but you could do a wall, a 4 or 5 foot wall that could be either straight or semi-circular around the original columbarium. So, there are many different ways that you could add or tastefully add additional spots around that area.
One, I love that the Lutheran Church is accepting
information as a way to...
Yeah, just tell us what we got to do and we'll work with it. It's that easy.
I don't think there's an objection to it. I just figure out what it is.
I think something like this should be presented as a preliminary to the council itself to see where their view is on.
Yeah.
Because you get this started, it's going to be.
Yeah, every church is going to want one.
Yeah.
And third, how does it work when you designate a piece of your personal residential property as cemetery ground? I know you can do that. Have your familial burial plot.
These five cemeteries in Rome, and all burials are in.
I know, but it
is. And there's another, and Cloverleaf is just outside.
I believe there are statutes that address that.
There are.
Yeah.
I don't know those off the top of my head.
Yeah, so I guess if you guys had like any other comments as far as like research or like things you guys want for them or direction or anything else?
I have a question for the city. What was the intent of this amendment in 2011? Why was it made?
That's another great question.
I have to dig into that and call some people who have been in my position in the past, I guess.
That was a long time.
Yeah.
Bruce. We can call Bruce.
I can call Sarah. She should know something too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sure it's to allow a specific project, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the language is so vague, it had to have been done on purpose.
That might be before Sarah's time.
Though. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
That's Bruce.
You'd have to get Bruce.
Yeah, because this was back in 2011, I think this one was.
Yeah,
so
way back.
Yep.
All right.
Cool.
Guess,
very good.
Yeah, no, I guess if you guys don't have anything else, any other direction?
No, that, I mean, this sounds like there's a lot. I mean, this would be the first structure of this kind in this location, and, you know, to do it right because it would set the precedent for how each other.
So I
just
guess
do it right.
Questions for you. You talked about, well, we would need to know that. For instance, when I mentioned, you know, floral arrangements around, I mean, is that something you need to know when we make our application or these administrative bylaws? We have not done much work on that at all. We have some models that we can.
Yeah. So I imagine, like, you guys, like, when you guys come back in, you guys, instead of just kind of it being probably a phone conversation, we'll probably ask you guys, like, come in and we'll probably hash out, like, the landscaping, everything with it. Kind of like, management plan seems too heavy handed, but the oversight of it, where it's going to go, probably also site selection and, like, location as well. Because I wonder if, I guess that's probably like the west side, if like moving it to the west side and like maybe taking a chunk out of the parking lot and kind of like landscaping that, like if actually
work. This would be the location. This will, when we submit our paperwork, this will be the location that
so,
I described. We'll be where we
Yeah, so I guess like we'll hash out like a lot more of the details like on like the public. So before you guys come back to this, you guys will sit down with us and then we'll hash out all the details.
All right.
So I'll get you guys ready for presentation of the planning commission.
Okay.
Well, yeah, just question.
Thanks for your time.
Sir,
thank you guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right. On to our review of the I-2 district uses.
Yeah, let me go.
I should have got a pen.
Is the work section or work session going to be on the record?
I think
so. I don't think that's necessary, is it?
Okay. Well, then let's jump ahead to the miscellany. We'll deal with that, and then we'll adjourn the regular meeting and start the work session then.
Okay,
that works.
So, all right, and the miscellany we can ask address if they're interested in reviewing and adopting.
Sure. All right. Since the work session is not an item of record, we're going to jump ahead to number 7, miscellany, and
number
then...
Number 6 or number 7?
Number 6. And then then do our miscellany, and then we will adjourn the regular meeting, start the work session from there. So, on number six, you will notice that you have in front of yourself a Planning Commission handbook that KOD has so lovingly put together for us. There's a bit of an appetite for us to consider maybe adopting this as a official document of the commission, but we would definitely need some review by the commissioners and then bring it back with any changes to be suggested or made or discussed.
Yeah,
so
we should read it.
Fantastic. And I'm speaking with city staff to see how I can actually, if possible, make it like a pocket book, like something smaller, so we don't have to carry a whole this kind of size. We can design it such that it will become a smaller kind of booklet that can be handy if you can put it in your pocket and just have it somewhere. So, you know, it's subject to several changes. Maybe when you review, you can suggest any, you know, additions, subtractions. You know.
Comes with a magnifying glass.
Yeah. Well, it'll be smaller, but it'll be that thick.
It'll have a QR code that you can
there you go.
Put it on.
Otherwise, if we like it in this format, then we can just look at the, I guess, the structural
final bit. So then, as commissioners, your homework is to review and bring back at our next meeting with corrections, additions, subtractions, recommendations, and I think we would like to move forward with this as an actual, as a document, a working document for this group. So, all right. Any other miscellany?
So I guess the plan for this is to adjourn the meeting and
And start the work.
Okay, cool.
All right, I will accept a motion to adjourn the regular meeting of the Planning Commission.
Motion to adjourn.
And a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Regular meeting has ended. There we go.
How efficient that was.